You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there, I want to invite you back towards a seat. We're going to be continuing in our series, Jesus Christ the Same. We've got two more today and next week. Today we're talking about Jesus, the one who gives us the Holy Spirit. And next week we're talking about victory over darkness. He gives us victory over darkness. And so as we are going through this process, one of the things I wanted to emphasize over and over again is that when we read something in Scripture, when we hear stories about what Jesus did and how he lived, when we see the promises of God revealed, we can know that the same God who did this still does these things today. And the same Jesus who works in us and with kindness and with justice and with love and with forgiveness and with grace and with mercy and all these things, he also continues to give us the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to talk about a little bit about why that is so significant for us to embrace and to just know it as a way of living. And so one of the promises that we have in Scripture is that Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to anyone who would ask. Anyone who belongs to him who asks, he will fill them with the Holy Spirit. And this is something that as Jesus is preparing to leave the planet, as he has died and has been resurrected, for about 6 weeks he spent time with his disciples. And he said, you know, it's good that I'm leaving, because the fact that I'm leaving means that I'm going to be able to send to you the Comforter. I'm going to send to you the promise of the Father for the express purpose of giving you what you need. Was, you know, you heard the promise that Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. But the way he accomplishes that is giving the Holy Spirit to live inside every single one of us. And so there's a couple different places he refers to this. We're going to look at Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1. And then we're going to be diving into the book of John. And for someone who is wanting to begin their relationship with Jesus, or someone who wants to reinforce the foundation of the relationship with Jesus, I would heartily recommend starting in the good news, the gospel good news, according to John, also known as the Gospel of John. In this particular book, it's written by the person who was the closest to Jesus on the planet, and it has a very intimate, direct view of his relationship with Jesus, but also how Jesus cared, what he cared for, and how he chose to incorporate caring for his disciples as he's preparing to leave them. And even to the point where, as we're here 2,000 years later, this is a message we can hear today and know God's talking to us about this as well. So let's look at Luke chapter 24. Jesus said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Then again, in Acts, it's recorded, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the deposit that guarantees that Jesus will return. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, we have a deposit that is given to us to live inside of us. And we're going to hear some of the things that the Holy Spirit does as we live following after Jesus. And we're going to talk a little bit about how we can be aware of and involving of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. One of the things that I think stands out the most to me in this process is we, especially as we're discussing the Holy Spirit, if you've been raised in a church that believes in the active power of the Holy Spirit, I don't know what it is that means to you. Sometimes I will get a call or someone will send me an email and says, do you move in the gifts of the Spirit? And that usually, I'd say 99% of the time, means not the way you think we do. Because for some, when we think about what the Holy Spirit does, you can think, well, that's the weird day that people were swinging from the chandeliers during church service. Or that was the day where there was people running around the building speaking in a language I didn't understand, and it was kind of freaky. Or that was the day when, you know, the lady came over and grabbed me by the head, and she's going to pray for me to receive the Holy Spirit, and she wouldn't let go, and she's given me this thing. Now, we try to avoid that. I joke about that, but those are things that are directly from my childhood, from my high school experiences at church camp, etc. And it has almost become this thing where it really is a thing within the Christian world where people will say, yes, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's others who say, well, I think that was for, you know, Bible times, but not necessarily for today. And there are people who will advertise, our church is 100% Pentecostal, capital P. Okay? Or our church is 100% non-charismatic. We, you know, just go for the word. And rather than get into all the, you know, what does this mean? I want to talk about how God wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and refill us on a daily basis to be empowered to live for him. Because let me tell you this, God never intended for you to try to live for him in your own strength, using your own willpower, using your own abilities. God intended to fill you with the Holy Spirit to enable you to be empowered to live for him. And it may seem, well, what's the difference? How does this work? I'm so glad you asked that question. Because God said in Jesus, I am going to give you what you need to live for me. When Jesus tells us we're to live a holy life or to live a life of obedience to him, he's not telling us, and so just go in and try and, you know, every bad habit, here's the list of stuff I want you to quit. Here's the list of stuff you got to start doing. That's not what he does. He actually shows up in Scripture right after his resurrection, and he has this interaction with his disciples. Let's look at John chapter 20. So here's the picture. Shortly after Jesus' death, he's been resurrected, most likely on this very day. The disciples are in a room, locked away, hiding because they are afraid that the same thing that happened to Jesus earlier in the day is going to, or earlier that weekend is going to happen to them. So, locked room, what are we going to do? They're afraid, etc. So, on the evening, this is verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus again said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So, just get this picture. The disciples are all together in a room. They're freaked out. The doors are locked because they're afraid the religious leaders and the religious police are coming for them. And they just had killed Jesus 2 days before or 3 days before. They think they might be next. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there in the midst of them. "Hello. Don't be afraid," is the phrase that he throws out there. But then he also does this. He breathes on them, and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And for these Hebrews, as they're hearing this, Jesus is referring to something that goes all the way back to in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth by the power of his Holy Spirit. And it says, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and when God would speak, something would happen. The power of the Holy Spirit would cause creation to develop. So the breath of God that the Holy Spirit refers to is something that Jesus is telling them, this is going to be integral to your life. This is the same Spirit of God that created the heavens and the earth, that was integral in carrying out God's mandate. And I'm saying he is going to be in you as well. Receive this. There was nothing at that moment where he said, and this is what you're going to do, and this is what it's going to sound like, this is what it's going to be. There are things that come with being baptized with the Holy Spirit, but the big thing was receive the Holy Spirit. If you want to live a life empowered by God to do the best you can in holiness, in witnessing to people, in showing your family, your friends, the best version of yourself, you need to receive the Holy Spirit in order to be empowered by Jesus to overcome those moments and those times in our lives when we, in our own flesh, are completely incapable of doing that. The Holy Spirit is what enables us to live for Jesus. And it's not, well, I've got 25, 30, 50 years of practice at willpower. It's, I'm learning how to submit myself to the Holy Spirit that he will direct my steps and lead me in the way he says that I'm to go. Okay? You can go 50 years attempting to walk with Jesus in your own strength and not see the changes in your life that the Holy Spirit wants to bring and transform, sometimes in a moment. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and lives inside of us, and we can cooperate with his leading as we go about our daily life, okay? So one of my mentors, Jerry Cook, said this specific activity right here where Jesus shows up in the upper room and he breathes on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, this is the most significant moment in all of Christianity. When I look at that, I asked him about it. I was like, what do you mean? And he says, well, where were the disciples before they received the Holy Spirit? They were locked in a room afraid that they were going to be killed. What happens after they receive the Holy Spirit? Well, they left the upper room and they went down and they mixed among the people and they shared the news that what Jesus had done in them, who he was as the Savior of the world, and they were a completely transformed group. Before the Holy Spirit, Peter is afraid of a little girl who could place him in the same general vicinity as Jesus at some point. Afterwards, he stands up in front of all the religious leaders that he was afraid of, all of those who had carried out Jesus' crucifixion, and he tells them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. What changed? The Holy Spirit filling him with boldness. That same Spirit that dwells inside anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus. He says, peace be with you. Because when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's not a freaky, scary thing. I say this all the time. The Holy Spirit is not weird. Who is? People are weird. Yes, anybody who caught that answer right, yeah, you've been around. People are weird. However, when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, there are times we experience emotions or feelings, or there's times where we don't experience emotions or feelings. But when that's happening, it's not the evidence that the Holy Spirit is finally here. I can feel it on my neck. Ooh. No, we know. Luke chapter 11 says, if we ask to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, God will fill us. That's his promise. And sometimes we get the, ooh. And other times it just feels normal. Which one's right? Yes. When Jesus was talking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit throughout his ministry, they missed it over and over again because what could be better than Jesus in the flesh with them? Nothing. We've got Jesus. And at the same time, he says, it's better that I leave so that the Holy Spirit will come. And they're like, we'd really like to see you. And he says, no, instead of you seeing me and me being able to walk around with a couple of you, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit so that anyone who calls upon my name will be saved and that the Spirit will indwell, live inside of you and help guide and direct your steps and your life. I pieced together some scriptures from John 14, John 16 in this particular passage. I'm going to read those here. These are things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit is here to do and he's going to do. Let's look at this. To his disciples, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anybody who does not love me will not obey my teaching. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So Jesus is talking to his disciples saying, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come and he is going to lead you into all truth. He's going to remind you of things. This morning when Joni was standing up here talking, she had no intention of talking about what she talked about. But something was triggered in her. And what I believe it was is the Holy Spirit reminded her of something she'd experienced or something that she'd read in Scripture, a lesson that she'd learned, and she shared it. Did anyone see her at the moment when that happened? All of a sudden, there was a lightning bolt that came from heaven, and she began to shake. Ooh, you know, anybody see that? Well, I didn't see it either, because that's not what happened. It was a very normal, natural, in a regular conversation, she may not have even said, well, I never didn't intend to talk about this. but she shared something. And I know that what she talked about with worship and freedom and worship was life-giving to people. The thing is, a lot of the time when people come up to me after a message on Sunday, say, man, you were talking right to me when you said this, this, and this. That was the whole, that was just, it was so neat, so good that God's talking to me about that. And I sit there and I go, that's awesome. That's really great to hear. Not because it's like, well, of course it is. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm a professional. I'm very good at my job. Let me wow you with my awesome. No, it's not that. You come to church expecting to hear from God. And God uses willing vessels to communicate a message, but it doesn't leave it up to the person to share the message. He will often redirect the message or take it and apply it to you in a way that seems like it's just for you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's not because, well, you have one heck of a pastor. Pastor Appreciation is coming up on November 14th. That's not it. The whole point of receiving what God's got for us is recognizing every single one of us who belongs to Him, who's called upon the name of Jesus to be saved, the Holy Spirit is deposited inside of us to lead us and to guide us and to direct our steps and even to give us directions and conversations or to shut us up when it's time. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as our helper. Helper is not like a sidekick who's there. Hey, you guys need anything done? Just let me know. In this situation, this as the words are used here, the Holy Spirit as our helper is the one who comes alongside, and He is the special forces individual who God has sent to handle whatever you've got. I know a handyman or two in my life. There is no handyman like the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit can go into any situation and know what to do and what not to do, when to be silent and when to say something, when to pursue, when to get away. And that's what God wants us to embrace is we don't have to go through this on our own. We have a helper. He's also referred to as the one in the same spirit that dwelled inside of Jesus. When you see Jesus functioning on the earth, there was a point at which the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of him. It was right after being baptized in water. The Holy Spirit comes down and rests upon him. And it wasn't a bird, but it appeared like a bird. And why did they call it appeared like a bird? Because they had no point of reference to what are we seeing happen here. Well, it's kind of like a bird flew down. Was it a bird? No, but it was kind of like it. And it alighted on Jesus. And there was the word from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to what he has to say. And as the Holy Spirit dwells within him, Jesus is then led by the Holy Spirit. He's compelled to the desert. He's tempted by the enemy. And in each situation, the Holy Spirit is giving him exactly what to do and what not to do. There's times that Jesus walks right by someone who has a desperate need for physical healing and he doesn't do anything. And there's other times where he goes into a village and he heals everyone. Why? Because the Holy Spirit would tell him what to do. Jesus one time said, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. And that is only revealed to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can say, well, that's Jesus. Jesus never played the God card while he was on the planet. He did not ever say, no one else can do what I'm about to do. He did what he did, filled with the Holy Spirit, to show us that we can walk like he walked, depending on our Father and the Holy Spirit working inside of us. This is good news. It's not that God says, you know what I need? I need a few men and women who are going to be like super above everyone else and kind of direct everything. He said, anyone, all flesh will be able to receive the Holy Spirit. The prophecy in the book of Joel in the Old Testament. Joel says, you'll be able to know when we're coming down to the end because I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. At a time when society was so stratified and men and women didn't have the same rights and slaves and free didn't have the same rights and depending on where you were born, you didn't have rights. The Holy Spirit came and was poured out upon all flesh, men and women, slave and free, old and young. Every class separation that exists in our society, the Holy Spirit comes and is the great equalizer. He's our helper, but he's also our advocate, the one who intercedes on our behalf. The word for advocate here is a similar one for like a lawyer. Please don't get a bad picture in your head about a lawyer. Think about having the very best one ever who's going to come before you. And, you know, if you're ever put in a situation where you have to give an account of yourself in a courtroom, you can know that the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say. But the advocate is working on our behalf before God and with people. He comes alongside of our life to walk with us, to remind us and to convict us of sin, to show us what is right and what's not, to show us where we put our feet and where we don't. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us with our Great Commission role to, as we go into the world, we share the gospel message and we make disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and baptize people. The Holy Spirit is what enables us to be able to do that. We are called to be Spirit-filled disciples. And it's not just a one time you get filled. I'm a big Charles Dickens fan, and I knew I was in trouble back in the day when I am reading Charles Dickens. I'm thinking, man, these books are just so awesome, and I'm so glad they go on forever. I only found out later he got paid by the word, which is why Great Expectations is so stinking long, and all of our twists. He's writing, and it's like, what else can I say here to make some more cash? And so he could have cut some words, a good editor, but you know, let's not get on Chuck's back. But one of the things I love in the story of Oliver Twist is Oliver is living in this orphanage, and he gets fed the gruel. Gruel is like really bad cream of wheat, okay? It's been sitting for a long time, but he has to eat this bowl of gruel. And all the kids just know, you don't get any more, you just get this. And Oliver, one day, he's hungry, so what does he do? He goes up to whoever's serving this slop, and he says, can I have some more, sir? And they make a big deal. You can't have more and all that. But when he does that, it's a picture of what God invites us to do when we are going through hard situations in our life, when we say, yeah, I've already been filled with the Holy Spirit. Can we ask him for more? Well, in Acts chapter 4, it says we can. There's a time when Peter and John have been thrown into jail, been beaten up because they healed a guy, and they did it in Jesus' name. And then they were pulled out in front of the religious leaders and threatened, you will not do this again, otherwise worse is going to happen to you. And they go back to the other disciples, and they get together and they pray. And they don't pray for protection, they pray for boldness. Fill us with boldness to be able to carry out your word. You know, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And it says there was a great earthquake and they were all filled again. The Holy Spirit will fill us on a daily basis. If we say, you fill us, fill me with your Spirit, O Lord. It's the norm to be a person who follows Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit. It allows me to be and do what Jesus would be and do if he was walking in my shoes. I had probably one of the coolest things ever happen this last week. There's a very dear friend of mine. Many of you guys know Katie Diamond, now Katie Stark. And most of Katie's attendance these days happens online. And she's married a wonderful man named Harold. And she has an incredible son that is named Anthony Stark. Wait for it. Yes, it's really Tony Stark is this little guy. And I will go out and hang at their house occasionally and spend time with them. And at some point, Harold, Katie's husband, called me Pastor Louie. Not because I asked him to, just because he did. But little tiny Anthony Stark is 5 years old, and he heard this. And he's kind of big on Star Wars stuff. And he didn't hear Pastor Louie. He heard Master Louie. And so whenever I do a Marco Polo with them, he'll always come on. It's like, I want to say something to Master Louie. And I'll talk to him like he's one of my Padawan trainees and he's working to pursue Jesus. Anyway, he's an active five-year-old. And there's times when he behaves poorly. That's what happens when you're five. Okay? We usually give a lot more grace to five-year-olds that are acting poorly than we do to, say, 35-year-olds who are acting poorly. But in this situation, his parents at times are like, what are we going to do with this kid? Because he's incredibly articulate, he's incredibly willful, and he's just kind of doing his thing. And at some point, his mom sent me a note this week, and Katie said, you'll never believe what happened. We had a great day with Anthony, and he was doing so well, and he's listening the first time, and he's obeying the first time, and it's just like somebody took our child and replaced him with a child who listens. And his dad was kind of, whoa, you know, Anthony, what happened today? How come you're so good? How come you're behaving so well? I mean, as a parent and as a grandparent, I know what you want to do. You want to bottle that stuff up. And you want to take it with you. It's like, here, take a dose of this anytime you can. And here's what Anthony said. Well, today I asked Holy Spirit to give me what I need for today. I asked Holy Spirit to help me because I try to be good. It's really hard. But today, it wasn't as hard. And it wasn't like he's this incredible theologian. But he's an incredible theologian at that moment. And if I could say nothing else about the being baptized with the Holy Spirit, except for relay that story, that would be enough. This is what God does when we ask him to fill us with the Spirit. He enables us to do things and to act in certain ways that we could never act on our own, with self-control and with humility and with restraint, or with boldness and with confidence and with peace. Simply saying, fill me with your Spirit today, Lord. He allows us to put into practice what we know to do in following the Holy Spirit's lead. I think one of the most significant things in the whole world for me is when I get to see people who are beginning to understand that God talks to them, he leads them, he guides their steps, and they are putting it into practice and they see God meet them. My great hope is that we don't do the best deeds of our Christian life just when we come into this building, but that we go out into our communities and our neighborhoods and our workplaces and we live doing what Jesus would do if he was walking in our shoes. Not because we're trying to get brownie points or merit badges, but we're simply seeing needs or seeing situations and we're living out what Jesus would do in that spot. My prayer is that every single day, and I do this multiple times a day, and I walk around this building, and we've got 100 preschool kids and 20-something preschool teachers, and I'm walking around it, and I'm praying over the kids, not because I go in there and grab them by the head and say, listen to what Anthony Stark said, don't you do obey. It's more going and say, Lord, I pray that you'd give us what we need for this day. I pray for each teacher, give us what we need for this day. And inevitably, I come down to, Lord, give Louie what I need for this day. Fill me with your Spirit. And I will pray that 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. And what I find is, as I'm praying that, God gives me an opportunity to exercise compassion or to exercise kindness or to exercise patience or to exercise listening ears. Because that's where the being worked in and worked through and used by God starts. It doesn't start with a microphone in your hand. It starts with a life that is submitted to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would be people who are open to be directed by what you are doing. I ask you, Lord, that we will not attempt to follow you in our own strength and in frustration, but we will allow you, Lord, to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And that each day we can start the day saying that, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. Give me what I need. We want to see transformation of our lives in the way we talk, in the way we act, in the way we think, in the places we go, in our work performance, having fun, and all these things. With nobody looking around, I want to just give you an opportunity. If that's your prayer today, you're wanting God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's again. I just would invite you to lift up both your hands as a sign of receptivity. Say, Lord, that's me. Fill me with your Spirit today. Fill me with what I need because you know it. I don't know it. You know what I need. Lord, you see hands up around this room. I pray your blessing that the promise you have given is fulfilled as you give this. In Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. Amen. By the way, you do not have to walk around afterwards and say, guess what, everyone? I'm filled with the Spirit. Watch me do Spirit things. The temptation can be we need to show, flex our spirituality. Look at this. I go to the church. Look at those guns, okay? Those are Jesus guns, okay? Got anything you want me to do? That's not it. My brother Ben is a black belt in Muay Thai. He is, I think it's a purple. He's either a purple or brown in jiu-jitsu as well. And when he was going through getting his black belt, it was like a 5 to 6 month process. It took up multiple nights during the week. And after getting it, he just decided, I've gone as far as I need to go with this. I'm going to focus on teaching other people. I'm not going to try and get my second and third degrees. And that was over a year ago. Now his wife Jessica is a second degree black belt. His daughter Ellie and Zoe are both first degree black belts. And there was someone who came up to him at the gym, because Ben still goes to the gym. He still does stuff. But, you know, He's not walking around with his black belt on all the time, say, hey, check me out, look what I can do. No one knows, unless they've been there a year previous, that what he has done and who he is manifested in his character, it's manifested in his accomplishments. He just goes around and helps people in his kind. One of the other people who was a teacher there says, you know what, Ben? If I didn't know that you were a black belt and all the hard work you did, I would never know by the way you act, because you're not cocky, you're not a jerk, you're not going around trying to be flashy, you're just you. And when I heard him say that, I thought, you know what? That's what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. People don't have to know how spiritual you are. Volume does not equate spirituality. They just need to know. We are shown to be filled with the Spirit by our love, by our care, by our boldness, by our kindness, by our patience. May we continue to walk in being filled in that area. There's going to be some opportunity right after we're done to be prayed for. And if something's come up and maybe you want to start a relationship with Jesus or need a point of healing or something, there's going to be a couple people in the back by the trellis back here. I was confirmed last week. It is a trellis. So it's by the white trellis. Prayer will be available. In the meantime, I want to pray a blessing over you from Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So you will put the Lord's name on you and he will bless you. We thank you for this promise in Jesus' name. Amen. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Simply, easily approach him and know he's going to give you what you need to live for him today. Right on? Right on. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.